It's quite cozy. My head hasn't felt this warm in a while. It's in a good way. I'll leave it on. Again, I was given a bit of a blank check for my talk this evening, and I want to try and weave in this morning's service a little bit, but really I wanted to just think about what I felt that God was speaking to me about and what he'd want me to be sharing with you. And if you were at the morning service this morning, you'll know that we started this new series looking at the red letter Bible, or the red letters of the Bible, those words spoken by Jesus, and in particular looking at Mark's gospel. So this evening I want to look at a few of those times where Jesus has spoken to us, but about peace. And I think it's probably fair to say, I mean, I sat down here just now and then Ruth did her testimony, and then Matt leant over and said, you may as well just leave it there, because she'd basically nailed it on the head straight away. But I'll do my best to add to that. I think it's fair to say that probably at some point this week, we've all felt a little overwhelmed or stressed or overworked or perhaps even angry. So what is it that can help us reach the end of each week by not letting that completely take over our lives? And I think it's peace. And however you see, picture that, and however it fits into your life, there is lots of different forms of peace, and it's a huge word and probably a staple part of just our lives as human beings, but certainly as Christians. And I think all of us would want more of it. I think it's a kind of a fair statement to make. But what comes between us and peace, I think, is probably just the general noise of life. That's the only way I could kind of describe it. And it's this noise of life which just makes it difficult for us to have peace. But this is exactly what Jesus promises. And if we look at John 14, which is the very same passage Ruth mentioned, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. This is verse 27. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And then I flipped to it in the message and just read that, because, you know, sometimes that can help. And it says that's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you in the way that you're used to being left, feeling abandoned and bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. Jesus' peace most likely won't quieten down screaming children, unfortunately. And Jesus' peace doesn't guarantee a slick commute to work in the morning. And it probably won't make all of your problems or all the world's conflicts and everything fade away. But he does promise a peace that will quieten our heart. And the more I thought about it, I was thinking, well, just knowing that Jesus came into this world to heal can bring peace to a troubled soul. Or knowing that Jesus came to speak the truth brings peace in itself. But also knowing that Jesus has shown us the way and is waiting for us where there will be no more of this noise, just can make all the noises go away now. If we can look to the future and experience that peace now. So Jesus promises this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So having researched it a little bit more, my first stat of the evening is that there's 429 mentions of peace in the Bible. And from what I Googled, that seems to be that it is more than love, faith, and hope. So it's obviously there's something to it. But what is it about peace that is so desirable to us and to God? So in a kind of a literal sense, well, let's go to Mark 4, verse 35. And we all know the story, I imagine, with the boat and the storm. But there's certain bits of this, I think, that are worth looking at. So after a busy day of teaching and sharing of parables and crowds, Jesus joins his disciples in a boat. And actually, just now, Matt was looking on his special Bible. referencing what this boat may look like, and it was quite interesting because I was wondering, did it have a mast and a sail? So I was kind of picturing one thing, and anyway, it turns out it does. It's about 27 feet, did we say? Yeah, 27 feet. Four masts and three benches for sitting onto row. Anyway, and we read that, he gets into the boat and he joins the disciples and he says, let's go cross to the other side. And then we read about this furious squall coming up and the waves breaking over the boat. And where's Jesus amongst all this chaos and noise? He's in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, no less. And I just love the whole idea of this. It would have been great to see. And if it helps the picture, we found out that the stern is obviously at the back of the boat, but it's also raised and up out of the way of the water. So he kind of found himself a good spot. I think we all would love to find peace in crazy and hectic situations like that, but it's not always possible. But, you know, imagine a time where you could just block it all out and find peace, perhaps in a hustle and bustle of an airport queue certainly for me yesterday, we had a house full of six-year-olds. I don't know if there's a slide. It was just the house is crammed full of six-year-olds, and it was not the most sensible idea to do a craft party, but that's what she wanted, and play musical bumps and all sorts. And for some of it, I would have liked to have curled up with a cushion and had 40 winks, but there's a bit of a video. But you can kind of imagine the situation. It wasn't that chaotic, and I wouldn't have missed it. But anyway, that was yesterday. Or actually, it may have been this afternoon. I've just seen John Fever, sorry. It might have been this afternoon. The French rugby team wanted to curl up on a cushion at halftime after we were teaching them how to play rugby. Anyway, so how does Jesus manage it? Well, he's got complete trust and confidence in his Father, for starters. Perhaps after a day of teaching, he wants to kind of see, he wants to test them. He wants to see if they've been listening and that they trust all that that he'd been teaching them about God, the Father, and their protector. But also, he stated in this plan, he had already stated it. He said, let's cross to the other side of the sea. Not, let's kind of go out a little bit and see how far we get. Or let's just head off from the shore to give us some space. He kind of made a plan, and no storm was going to get in between that, or him and that. And sometimes we overlook God's plans when things get bad and storms appear in our own lives. And we were praying about this just before the service, this idea that these storms, although this is an actual storm, these storms are just all around us, and sometimes we have simply no control of them. And it can seem like God is asleep in our boat. And so when things get stormy and we get in a mess, we may just want to say, Jesus, wake up. We're not going to make it. And it's, of course, at these times that God's power is probably the most visibly the strongest, and when we're feeling really weak and really helpless in one of these life storms. And I found two little phrases, I'd say. One was, sometimes that God, he may let you hit rock bottom so that you'll discover that he is that rock at the bottom. Sometimes God allows you to get into a situation only he can fix so that you will see him fix it. And yes, I think these are ways that we can experience his power and we can grow in our faith because of it, but I don't think it's the only way. I think it's a case of, you know, that's a cure, but we kind of need the preventative as well. And there's all these forms of peace, and I think there's a peace that should be constant in our lives if we accept Jesus into our life. And it's this peace that Jesus shared with us that we can now share with others and create this culture of peace and contentment in one another's lives. And I was typing this down, and I was thinking it's getting a bit flower power now. But I firmly believe it's this quality that kind of underpins us in our Christian lives and what is most visible to those outside. I found this from the writer Henri Nouwen. Is that right? Henri Nouwen. And it may well be well known. But it says, Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. And then after that, it actually goes on to say, I must trust that this little bit of love that I sow now will bear many fruits here in this world and a life to come. So let's get back in that boat. We'll go back to Mark 4. And the storm is becoming so fierce that the disciples have had to wake Jesus. And we probably all know what happens. He gets up and he simply turns to the sea and says, silence, be still. I would have probably quite liked this to have worked yesterday, but the closest I got was musical statues. But talk about authority of Jesus. That's what we're looking at this morning. Two commands, two words, or three words, but two commands, and it's done. This authority of Jesus and how he uses position to speak over those, and to those around him, to share the truth in such honesty and integrity, is a way that the people around him just couldn't ignore. He took out the middleman, and he wasn't referencing previous preachers and wise folk before him. He was just sharing the undiluted truth. And it's that, I think, that gave these red letter words, these kind of words, such authority. But we also see that he had authority over the kind of place and the environment around him, such authority given from his father that even the violent seas, waters would listen. So interestingly, this word silence, forgive my pronunciation here, siope, this is where this silence stems from, means hold your peace. So I love that Jesus is able to create peace in a way that simply was impossible for anyone else to have done in that moment. People could have broken up arguments or settled a dispute and kind of helped make a situation peaceful, but calming of seas, that was other level stuff. So this whole thing, this whole storm may have been a way for him to show his a raw example of how we should be trusting in God and his peace. But it's also, I guess, a really pivotal time for the lives of the disciples, these new disciples around him. And bear in mind, it says in there before or after, there's many other boats. So I don't know how it all factors in, but you know, it's been a busy day of teaching, and then the boat heads out and there's other boats with them, it says. So I'm kind of imagining this kind of flotilla of doubters, maybe, or people who are kind of on the fence, new believers, heard a little bit, maybe want to hear more. That's kind of how I was picturing it. And they're kind of following him out. And you can only imagine some of the looks these crews are giving each other when the storm comes up, and this person that's been teaching them all day about the good news and promises and safety and protection from God is now asleep in the back whilst they're all battling and with the sails or bailing out the water. And, you know, they were probably mucking in, and he just left them to it. But then this amazing show of Jesus' power is shown to all of them. And then it says, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. So that very same peace is that peace that can live with us. He can indeed calm actual storms, but let us remember that he can calm the storms in our own lives. Storms that can sometimes feel even worse than being thrown about in a boat. So I had a few more quotes and some passages from the Old Testament and other kind of quotes to weave in, even one from Mother Teresa. But then Rachel this morning picked up on one of them. So I thought I'd have to end with one of these. It's a bit of a thinker. And then we'll move into a bit of time of reflection. So this is from Kung Fu Panda, which has an element of truth to it, I think. So maybe that was short and brief. I wasn't watching the time. But to finish, I think it'd be good to have a bit of time of reflection, and hopefully that we can all just start kind of reflecting on it and think about how and where we need peace in our own lives. And I'll see how that goes. I'm not very good at this freestyle side of things. But if we, I'll pray, and then if we're going to have some music, and we'll just have some time to ourselves. But perhaps I had the feeling that maybe if anyone did want to just share, either to the people around them or come up, just to share somewhere where they would love prayer for peace in their life. It could be a really small thing, or it could be just something that's just ongoing. And it's just that noise, and it's just, you know, it's getting in between them and living. So let's pray first. Lord, let the words we've heard tonight just rest in our hearts. Help us to find and acknowledge a peace that you're already bringing to our lives, but perhaps where we might need it more. I pray that you'll let those words of Jesus be spoken to us when needed. Silence, be still. Lord, I pray that as we go into a bit of time now of quiet, that you'll really lay on our hearts those noises in our lives that only you can help dull down, and you can bring that peace. And as we look to the greater world around us, there is always a need for your peace, both in our communities, our families, and all across the world. But we ask this in your name, Prince of Peace. Amen.